Hello and welcome to this class entitled God's Living Word. To begin with, I'd like to ask you to take your Bible and turn to the book of 1 Timothy in the New Testament. 1 Timothy is near the end of your New Testament, and we're going to begin in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. This class entitled God's Living Word is basically designed to help you to be able to read and understand the Bible so that you can apply the truths of God's Word to your everyday life, or to put it another way, so that you as a child of God can live in fellowship with your Heavenly Father and day by day to bring forth the fruits of that relationship in your life with God. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, we have some information which tells us God's basic will for all mankind, that is for all people, men, women, and children. It's what God wants for you, and it's what God wants for me. So in 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning in verse 3, we read, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all men, the testimony given in its proper time." God's will is stated here in this letter to Timothy by the Apostle Paul. And it says very clearly that what he wants or what he desires or what his will is for all men. And here the word men is in its generic form. It means all people, all men, women, and children. We could say all men, all human beings, all mankind. And if you look at different versions or translations, they all say it in different ways. But the point is clear that God wants for all people to be saved, first of all, and number two, to come to a knowledge of the truth. This is God's basic will for all of mankind, and this is what the whole Bible revolves around. The God of the Bible is a living God, and His desire is that all people have the benefits of what He has made available to all people. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 through 6 state that God's blessings are an open invitation for all mankind. Many of you probably are familiar, for instance, with the verse from John chapter 3, verse 16, which says that God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. The God of the Bible is a personal God. He is a loving God who cares for His people and for all of His creation. And He has made the blessings of His salvation and of His truth, which we find within the Bible, available to all mankind. And that's why we come to the Bible, to find out, to understand, and then to be able to apply the truth of God's Word in our lives. And very simply, if we want to know God's will, there's only one way to do it, and that is to come to the Bible. Because in a very special sense, the Word of God, which we find in the Bible, is the will of God. The only way we can know God's will is if we have a proper and correct understanding of God's Word. Let's look over into the book of 2 Timothy, just one book over. And it tells us a little more about the Scriptures, or the Holy Scriptures, and what the purpose of those scriptures are. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 14. We saw in 1 Timothy chapter 2 that God's will is for all men to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth. And we're going to see that the main purpose of the scriptures is to enable us to understand how to be saved and how to come to a knowledge of the truth. And if we begin in verse 14 of 2 Timothy chapter 3, we read, "But as for you," and this is the Apostle Paul writing to Timothy, "but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus." Timothy had learned the Scriptures from his infancy, and the Apostle Paul says here that it is the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, meaning the Old Testament, and at this time or later, it would have also included the New Testament. The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make Timothy, and therefore all people, wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And this is the greatest truth of all that we find in the Bible. That is God's plan of salvation. We read a little synopsis of it back in 1 Timothy chapter 2. God's plan of salvation is the central theme of the entire Bible. It's what God planned before He even created the heavens and the earth, and then He foretold and foreshadowed it in the pages of the Old Testament, and then we see it coming to its fulfillment in the pages of the New Testament. This plan of salvation is being worked out today in the history of the world. It applies to you, it applies to me, and it applies to all mankind. And right here, the Apostle Paul says, first of all, Timothy, the Scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on in verse 16. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, for rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Here we see the other main purpose of the Scriptures. First of all, they help us to come to a knowledge of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. But second, they also give us the knowledge, the wisdom, and the understanding for us to be able to live according to God's Word and therefore according to God's will in our day-to-day lives. They teach us, they rebuke us, and they correct us. This is what the Scriptures do from Genesis to Revelation. And in doing so, they instruct us in righteousness, or in a right way of living in relationship with God. Let's look over in the Gospel of John chapter 8, and let's see what the opinion of Jesus Christ was about the Word of God. John chapter 8, beginning in verse 31. John chapter 8 sets forth some very basic truth regarding the fact that the Word of God is truth, and as we live according to that truth, it brings freedom to our lives. Sometimes people think of the Bible as something that binds their lives. That's not the testimony of the Scriptures. Instead, the Bible, which is equivalent to the term Holy Scriptures, the Bible teaches us the truth, and in knowing that truth, we can be made free in our lives. Look over in verse 31 of John chapter 8. Jesus here is speaking to some of the Jews who were with him. And he said, to the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, that is to the Word of God, which Jesus both lived and taught, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. That is, you are my followers, those who follow in what I say. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. Jesus said, if you continue in my teaching, in the Word of God, which Jesus both lived and taught, then that these people would be His disciples, they would be His followers, and the truth of God's Word that He taught and that these people learned and continued in would bring freedom to their lives. Now, we know there are many different kinds of freedom in the world. There's a political freedom, an economic freedom, even a social freedom, depending upon certain societies that have a class system. But the greatest freedom of all is the spiritual freedom that we can find by coming to a knowledge and understanding of the truth of God's Word. And Jesus once again said that if we know the truth, that truth will make us free. Flip over to John chapter 17 real quick, and we'll see a very specific reference that Jesus has to say here about the Word of God. John chapter 17, verse 17. Jesus, once again speaking to His disciples here in a prayer to God, says, sanctify them, or set them apart by the truth. Your Word, that is God's Word, is truth. God's Word is truth. And when we know and understand God's Word, that is, when we know and understand the Scriptures or the Bible, we can come to a knowledge of that truth and learn how to live it in our lives, and then have the spiritual freedom that comes from living according to God's will. Let's now go through some scriptures from both the Old Testament and the New Testament to show both what the point of view of the Old Testament believers were and the New Testament believers were in regards to the Holy Scriptures which we have in the Bible. So let's first go to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. It's pretty near the middle of your Bible, and Psalm 119 is actually the longest chapter in the entire Bible. And every verse in it actually refers to the Word of God in one way or another. It's one of my favorite Psalms, and I read it quite often. Beginning in verse 89, and we could just pick up anywhere in here, but we'll start in verse 89. We have some beautiful truths about the Bible, or about the Word of God that we have in the Bible. Beginning in verse 89, and this is a psalm. Psalms were songs of Israel's prayer and praise to God. They're magnifying God, they're worshiping God, and these psalms were then written down and included in the Bible. It says, "Your word, O Lord, is eternal. Your word, O Lord, is eternal." That means it lasts forever. It stands forever. It stands firm in the heavens. God's word stands forever. The literature of today comes and goes, but the literature of God is the literature of eternity, or it's a literature that lives and stands or abides forever. If we want something that's sure in our lives, then we should come to the Bible so that we can learn the truth of God's Word. Your Word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. And in relationship to that, we can know that we can trust God's Word because your faithfulness, verse 90, your faithfulness, God, continues through all generations. You establish the earth and it endures. Your laws endure to this day. For all things serve you. If your law had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. The law here that it's referring to is speaking of the Old Testament law or the Mosaic law, which was the word of God specifically to Israel during the Old Testament times. And he says here, if your law, verse 92, had not been my delight, I would have perished in my affliction. I will never forget your precepts. For by them you have preserved my life. Save me, for I am yours. I have sought out your precepts. The wicked are waiting to destroy me, but I will ponder your statutes. To all perfection I see a limit, but your commands are boundless. What beautiful statements about God's word here. Look in verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. I meditate on it all day long. Your commands make me wiser than my enemies. I have more insight than all my teachers, for I meditate on your statutes. I have more understanding than the elders, for I obey your precepts. I have kept my feet from every evil path so that I might obey your word. I have not departed from your laws, for you yourself have taught me. How sweet are your words to my taste, sweeter than honey to my mouth. I gain understanding from your precepts, therefore I hate every wrong path. And in verse 105, one of the most beautiful verses in the entire Bible, your word, God's word, your word, O Lord, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Look at the testimony of this Old Testament believer. And this was the point of view of all the faithful people of the Old Testament, all the Israelites who loved God's word and who desired to know and live for Him as His people. They magnified God's word. It was what they meditated on day and night. It was what their lives revolved around day after day after day. And because of that, they had the wisdom that they needed to understand the purpose that they had in life and then how to live in harmony with God's will in their day-to-day lives. Let's look over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55. Isaiah, chapter 55. And we're going to see here that the Word of God is how God expresses and makes known and carries out His purposes to His people. We'll see this as we go through the Bible later, where we'll see that God, by speaking, brings the creation of the heavens and the earth into existence. It's also how God communicated with His people through the Mosaic law. And then His word is also how He spoke to His people to bring them back to God's word through His prophets in the Old Testament. Finally, God's word becomes flesh in the person of His Son, Jesus Christ, to carry out the greatest purpose of all, our redemption and salvation as God's people. So in Isaiah chapter 55, beginning in verse 8, we read, here's God speaking to the people of Israel, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." God here says that his word will not go out from his mouth and return to him empty. In other words, when he speaks it, it's not going to return to him empty. Instead, it is going to accomplish what he desires, and it's going to achieve the purpose for which he sent it. This is true of God's word from Genesis to Revelation. God's word is living, and it's powerful, and it is backed up by God himself, God who is a living and personal God who cares for his people. Now, let's go over into the New Testament and see what both Jesus Christ, a few more statements about Jesus Christ concerning the Word of God, and then see some statements by some of the other believers of the New Testament as well. Because the Old Testament scriptures were, for the New Testament believers, their Bible until they had put together the New Testament scriptures over a period of time, and it was eventually then collected together with the Old Testament scriptures to become what we now call the Bible. So, in Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, we are able to see here Jesus Christ's opinion of the Old Testament scriptures. He is tempted by the devil here right after he begins his ministry, and he replies in verse 4. Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." This is a quotation from the Old Testament. When Jesus Christ was confronted by the devil, when he was tempted by the devil, he relied on the Old Testament scriptures to counter what the devil said and to bring things back to the truth of God's word. So Jesus said, "Look, I may be hungry," because the devil was tempting him and trying to get him to make stones into bread to feed himself. Jesus said to him, "Look, I may be hungry, but man doesn't just need physical nourishment, which we all certainly do need. Man, more than anything else, needs spiritual nourishment. And it is only the truth of God's word which gives us that spiritual nourishment. Therefore, man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." What a beautiful statement by Jesus Christ here. Look over in Matthew chapter 15. Matthew chapter 15, beginning in verse 1. Here we have an encounter of Jesus Christ with some of the religious leaders of his day, the scribes and the Pharisees, or the teachers of the law. And Jesus is confronted with what was called the tradition of the elders. And the tradition of the elders was an interpretation of the Old Testament law, which had been passed down in oral form, generation after generation, which was supposed to help people to understand how to apply the Old Testament law in their lives, but instead, many times it had come to nullify the true intent and meaning of the Old Testament law, and therefore had made it such that the people of God were not able to live in accord with God's word. And Jesus here confronts those religious leaders with the hypocrisy of their position. Beginning in chapter 15, verse 1, we read, "Then some Pharisees and teachers of the law came to Jesus from Jerusalem and asked, 'Why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders?'" That is that oral interpretation of the Old Testament law, which, by the way, later was compiled in what came to be known as the Talmud. "They said, 'Your disciples don't wash their hands before they eat.' Jesus replied, 'And why do you break the command of God for the sake of your tradition?'" In other words, these Pharisees and teachers of the law had placed the traditions of men above the revealed Word of God, which was in the Old Testament. and therefore they had broken the true intent and meaning of that Old Testament law. Verse 4, "For God said, 'Honor your father and mother,' one of the Ten Commandments, 'and anyone who curses his father or mother must be put to death.' But you say that if a man says to his father or mother, 'Whatever help you might otherwise have received from me is a gift devoted to God,' he is not to honor his father with it. Thus, you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. You hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. These people honor me with their lips." In other words, outwardly, these people were honoring God with their lips and with their religious traditions and rituals. "But their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." Ladies and gentlemen, this was true during the time of Jesus, but it's also true today. And in fact, it's been true at every time in the history of the world. God has given us His Word, and when we know and understand that Word, it brings us true freedom in our lives, a true spiritual freedom. However, when men come in and they add to the Word of God the traditions of men, they so often nullify the true intent and meaning of that Word of God and put us, therefore, in bondage. And this is exactly what the Pharisees and the elders, or the teachers of the law, were doing to the people of Jesus' time. And Jesus said, look, God is not fooled by your outward statements, your outward religious rituals. God looks on the heart. And what God desires is a people who will worship Him in spirit and truth from the heart according to God's Word and God's will. Look over now into the book of Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. And we see another statement of Jesus Christ concerning the Word of God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. And here Jesus was confronted by the Sadducees, another group of leaders of that day, Jewish leaders of that day. And Jesus, when He's confronted with them, replies to them in verse 29. And He says, "You are in error. You Sadducees are in error because you do not know the Scriptures or the power of God." The Sadducees had come to Him and they tried to trick Him, to try to trip Him up, to try to make Him look foolish as a teacher of God's Word. But He said to them, look, this really shows your ignorance. Your question reveals your ignorance. And He said, "Your ignorance is evident because you do not know the Scriptures. You do not know and understand the Scriptures or the power of God." Ladies and gentlemen, if we don't want to be ignorant, if we want to know God's will, if we want to understand how to live our lives in a way that's pleasing to God, to receive the fruits of that relationship with God, then we must come to the Scriptures. We must know and understand the Scriptures, and then we will also know and understand the power of God. Look over now into the book of Hebrews. This is the letter to the Hebrews in chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, it's near the end of the New Testament. We have a beautiful statement here in regards to the Word of God. Hebrews chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. This is a very well-known verse for many people. And it says, "For the Word of God is living and active," or many of you may have heard it in another version, "the Word of God is living and powerful." It's living and active. It's powerful. Remember, it carries out God's purpose. The Word of God is living and active. Well, why is the Word of God living and active? Because it's the Word of a living God. God is just as alive today as He ever was in the history of the world. And God is working today in the world to accomplish His purposes through His Word. So the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. Everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of Him to whom we must give account. God is the creator of the heavens and the earth. And he has given us his word, which shows us his will. When we come to the scriptures and gain a knowledge and understanding of those scriptures, we will be able to live in alignment and harmony with God's word. And in doing so, we know that when we give account of ourselves to God one day, that we will be found pleasing in God's sight. It is the word of God that is our only standard for truth, and it is by that standard that all mankind will be judged. Now, let's look over into the book of 1 Peter. Just go over a couple of books closer to the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1. Beautiful verse here. Again, familiar to many people. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 24. It states, "For," and this is a quotation from the Old Testament, written here by the Apostle Peter, "For all men are like grass." All men are like grass. It's a figure of speech. It's a simile, like or as something. "For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever." There are many things in this life which come and go. All the material possessions of this world come and go. And we as people come and go. We are born, we live, we die, and then another generation comes along. We're mortal. But God is alive and God is real. God is immortal, and God's word lives and abides forever. The living God backs up his word. Therefore, if we want to have something that we could come to in our lives that we can rely on, that we can trust in, that we can have surety from, we know that it's God's word, because God's word lives and abides forever.